The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show as we transition this week from January into February, today being January the 29th, 2018. We come to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, have our worldwide live listening, making it very easy for you at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts, over 7 years of programs, are archived for you at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is open for you if you would like to join in, certainly in the first half hour as we have our Monday political face-off, 790-2040. For your questions and comments, and would love to hear from you. And each Monday, of course, we do kick the program off with our Monday political face-off, our team of commentators. This week, Jim Kelly is with us. Jim, a longtime Republican activist and communicator, commentator. Jim, good to see you, my friend.
Thank you, Bill.
And my other friend, Dr. Don Jorgensen, one of our regular contributors here to the Monday political face-off. Don is the former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Went to a way too exciting U of A game on Saturday, so
it went down to the last second, didn't it?
It did, literally. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard, at least I saw on Facebook, a lot of complaining that the referees were not doing, from a U of A point of view, very well.
Well, whichever side you look at it, it had to be the worst, and I'm not Sean Miller, so I won't get fined when I say it had to be the worst officiated game I have seen in years there.
Were they calling it close? Or what?
Well, erratically, and that's the problem. You know, as a player, you want to know how the refs are calling it. They're calling it one way, fine, you adjust. Calling it another way, these refs were calling it every which way or not from one play to the next, and it had to be tough for both teams.
Mm. Do you follow basketball at all, Jim? Or?
Rarely.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
I follow the Wildcats, you know, to keep my...
You're more of a football guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I like football.
And for folks that don't know, Jim Kelly has probably the cutest cat in town. His cat's name is Chowder. I love Chowder. And every time Jim posts a picture, I say, more pictures of Chowder on your Facebook page.
He gets far more likes than anything I ever post political,
man.
I can tell you that.
I tell you, he's just, he's very nonpartisan. And there's just really one person in his life, and that's you.
Yeah, pretty much. He's my buddy.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe and his family. They do such a great job. I've had all of my framing needs taken over there for probably 30 years since we arrived in town. They've been in town since 1985, and they specialize in custom frame mirrors. We've done that. He's taken care of some of our beautiful mirrors. He does all the beautiful picture framing. And if you don't want to hang it yourself, Mo has all the equipment. You know, the levelers and all that stuff that the pros use, and he'll put it up on the wall wherever you want it to be. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Okay, we have the State of the Union Address, 7 o'clock our time tomorrow, and we are carrying that live right here on KVOI. Is this the most important speech that President Trump will ever make, at least so far in his career, Jim Kelly?
I think this is going to be the most important speech he's made so far for his presidency. Who knows what things will look like 4 years from now. It is an important speech, and I expect it to be very, very different from what people have been used to in State of the Addresses. It's going to be Trumpian, and so I'm warning you now before
but
anybody
we're hearing
goes
it's going
to
be real nonpartisan, if that's possible.
Well, if Steve Miller is the speechwriter and his hand is in it, I believe that the themes will be big tent, bipartisan, good of the country, greatest good for the greatest number of people. That kind of theme will be in there, particularly if Miller is the one writing the speech.
What do you think, Don?
Well, when you said Trumpian, my first thought was incoherent. So I guess maybe different definitions. You know, when you look at, is it going to be an inauguration type speech when he spoke about American carnage? Or is it going to be, as you described, more like his speech in Davos, which was a very restrained kind of Chamber of Commerce, almost milquetoast speech? That's what I would
expect. Trump.
For Trump. Yeah. And what we're really looking for, and I think what the Republicans are looking for, is the teleprompter Trump versus the Twitter Trump. You know, and that's part of the issue here. It's a very low bar for President Trump. If he can get up there and just read the speech and not go off on his tangents, which he's likely to do, then that'll be considered a tremendous win. But it also will last about 12 hours because people will immediately turn to his Twitter feed and see what he really thinks. And I think that's what we're looking for. People are watching it as a reality show versus the President of the United States really laying out his plan for the future, because his White House has been so chaotic. His plans, bills, anything he's looking at introducing, have been all over the place. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago with the proposed immigration plans, he can say yes one day and no the next. So there's no credibility to anything he brings forward at the State of the Union based on his history of the past year.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you because he does have a lot of successes. He does have a lot of good legislative successes. Now, the Republicans haven't gotten everything they wanted. The Democrats haven't gotten everything they wanted. But the tax reform got done. Okay. The stock market's doing great. He let the U.S. military loose, and ISIS is contained and losing territory every day. Does he have challenges? Absolutely. Turkey is going to be a huge foreign policy challenge. But there have been small little things that have added up to big things in his foreign policy as well. And that's China, that's Pan-Asia, that is Middle East, including and North Africa, including new deals with Morocco, deals in the Persian Gulf with Qatar, UAE, all of it, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a big plus for his foreign policy. North Korea, we knew that was going to be confrontational no matter what, that Trump was not going to play the same game that the last four administrations have played with North Korea. He was not going to appease, buy off, bribe in any way, shape, or form. It's his play. It's a big play. Will it work? I believe that as long as Trump is continuing to use China and Russia as partners with this North Korea question, he will be successful. And I think there's a lot of people, particularly retired General Wickham, that agrees with me that if we continue to use China and Russia as partners with North Korea, North Korea will be a success.
Don?
Well, I think you've laid out a few of the points we're likely to hear tomorrow night from Trump. However, characterizing his foreign policy activities as a success is a stretch, I think, by any definition. When you just look at how he's managed to offend so many countries, so many groups, so many leaders, and the fact that his own White House folks described his visit to Davos as being accepted by the other world leaders as an equal, as frightening. Saying that the President of the United States is accepted as an equal, I mean, come on, we're talking about the person who, prior to Trump, was the world leader, and he's lost that. And you mentioned China. And here's the concern. Look at what happened last week in Davos. You had the president give a run-of-the-mill speech to millionaires and billionaires, which was his wheelhouse. He's very comfortable with that. But while he was there, he's talking about increasing mining jobs and some manufacturing jobs, while China was there cleaning his clock in making trade deals and working with folks around the world in areas like artificial intelligence and you know, information technology and high-tech future business issues where the U.S. is falling behind. So that's the problem. You've got Trump still looking backwards while the rest of the world is moving forward. And he has, talked about getting rid of NAFTA. He's voted against TPP, which Hillary did too. But in the meantime, he has made no significant new trade deals.
All right, we'll take our break right here. Jim Kelly is here and Dr. Don Jorgensen. We return on the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Society proudly presents the 64th Annual Tucson Gem and Mineral Show.
Well, this is the junior education area. What we have here is a bunch of interactive demonstrations and experiments that kids can enjoy, as opposed to the rest of the show, which has beautiful things but that the kids can't touch. Here we can show the kids beautiful things, but they can also touch them and feel them.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, February 8th through the 11th at the Tucson Convention Center. Go to tgms.org. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Bon Voyage Travel's 2018 Travel Showcase is back. With over 30 travel companies to share their knowledge and a room full of travel professionals, you can't go wrong. Planning the perfect vacation takes time and involves quite a bit of research. Bon Voyage Travel is here to simplify the process and ensure you always receive the best value. Join us February 3rd at La Paloma from noon to 4 p.m. There'll be presentations, exclusive offers, prizes, and a show floor giving you the opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation with us. Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Tuesday, a legislative update from State Representative Dr. Randy Fries of Tucson, also the commercial real estate review from Hank Amos of Tucson Realty and Trust. Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bill Buckmaster with you. The Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Art and Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Check it out for all of your framing needs. Dr. Don Jorgensen seated to my left, and Jim Kelly is here seated to my right. Jim, a very well-known Republican, and Dr. Jorgensen, a well-known Democrat. We're previewing the State of the Union address, which is going to be very interesting. That's going to be carried here live at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening on KVOI. So we talked a little bit about what we could expect perhaps from the president on the foreign front. What would you expect, Jim, on the domestic front?
Well,
immigration reform?
Absolutely. I think he's going to talk about it, because here's the thing about President Trump. I think he's going to declare a win no matter what happens with DACA. And here's the reason why. First off, Republicans aren't going to get everything they want. The Freedom Caucus is not going to get, you know, everything, no amnesty, all that kind of stuff. But the Democrats aren't going to get everything they want either. There is going to be a path to citizenship for the Dreamers. There just is. There will be an official legal status for Dreamers, not the limbo that the Democratic Party has kept them in for 30 years because it raises a lot of money for Democratic candidates.
And you were doing so well.
But the reality is this, is that we're going DACA, the Dreamers are going to have legal status. They will have a pathway to citizenship. They may not enjoy everything they have to do to get citizenship. And the Republicans may not like the fact that they're actually going to get citizenship. So, like I said, no matter what, Trump's going to declare a win on DACA.
Hmm. Well, I think you're right about the last comment. Attacking the Democrats for pushing for immigration reform, you might forget that just a few years ago during the Obama presidency, there was a bipartisan bill that was approved in the Senate and torpedoed by the Tea Party.
Was that the so-called Gang of Eight?
That was the Gang of Eight comprehensive immigration reform.
And he's right.
What we have today is, again, you're right. I believe that certainly in the Senate, they'll come to some kind of agreement, and whether you like the different parts of the proposal or not, I think that'll happen. That's back to how the Senate used to operate, with compromise, not a dirty word. What'll happen in the House is unclear, unless Ryan is willing to go forward with perhaps a minority of the majority and the Democrats. Then it can get passed there. Again, the question still is what happens at the White House. As Trump said a couple of weeks ago, if you brought him a bill, he would sign it. They brought him a bipartisan bill. He reneged.
I thought you were going to say what happens. I thought you were going to say what happens with the wall, because that plays.
Well,
into this
that's
too,
part
right?
of the that's part of the discussions that are going to happen, because that's Trump's signature campaign promise. Of course, at that time, it was only $8 billion and the Mexicans would pay for it. Now he wants to stick the taxpayers with a $25 billion bill, increasing the deficit, and instead of putting that money toward infrastructure.
Well, with regards to the wall, thankfully, cooler heads have failed, prevailed. That wasn't Freudian.
No.
Prevailed, including Congresswoman Martha McSally, who have been able to explain to him that there are just places on the border that a wall is not going to work. So Trump will now call anything that is a barrier, fence, or electronic surveillance, is going to be part of the Great Wall.
So it'll be a wino, a wall in name only.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
No, I think it will be a combination. And that extra money that you're talking about, that it's not a $25 billion wall. What it is, it's going to be all of the elements that we have been asking for since comprehensive immigration, which is increased blue uniforms for commerce, increased green uniforms for tracking down the spotters and the bad players on the border. That's what it comes down to. And electronic surveillance and any extra fencing that may need to be done. And yes, the kinds of fencing that you see down there at Hereford, for instance, on the border, that kind of fencing is going to be acceptable as Trump's wall. So it's going to get done. And there's going to be a lot more to it than just the physical barrier.
Well, and I think you will find compromise from Democrats on those issues if you're looking at common sense border security. No one opposes border security. The idea of the wall, though, has always been, I think, a first century solution to a 21st century challenge. You know, in reality, the border crossings are down. They're the lowest level in 40 years.
Yeah, they are.
That's not the issue. It's the other issues with related to overstaying visas and perhaps strengthening the
correct.
The program to report that
Absolutely.
Their companies have
Absolutely.
To follow up like on those issues.
Cooler heads are prevailing
let's hope.
Finally.
I want to talk a few minutes, Don, about the loyal opposition. The Democrats will have a speech that, of course, traditionally the Democrats get, I don't know, it's not equal time. Otherwise, it'd be the length of a State of the Union address. But I don't know. It's usually about 15 or 20 minutes after the State of the Union. The Democrats have called upon Congressman Joseph Kennedy, who will make his big appearance on the national stage. I think a lot of people are going to be watching that to see what he's all about.
I think so. Not just what he's all about, but what the Democrats are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact is, right now, in generic polls, the Democrats have about a 13-point lead when you look at their congressional races in the fall. But what's more important for the Democrats is to demonstrate what they are for and what they support. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think folks will be listening to when Representative Kennedy speaks, not just an anti-Trump rant, but what the Democrats are really looking at. I'm sure he'll be addressing some of these issues we've been addressing, immigration reform and foreign policy and the like.
His grandfather, Robert Kennedy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, yeah, it's also, again,
he looks like a Kennedy. I'll tell you that. The pictures I've
seen. He's a red-haired Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, the Irish is there. That's for sure.
But he also is going to convey a younger image, and that's something I think the Democrats have not really been strong on with their leadership, and this is going to be kind of a new image.
I think that's one of the images you'll see. I think mm-hmm. the other image you won't see is him reaching for a bottle of water, because everyone still remembers that.
Oh yes,
and image matters, and you're making a great point, Bill, about that, showing the kind of changing of the guard in the Democratic Party, and that's necessary.
Well, the changing of the guard will only matter if he can pull his head out of the entrenched establishment Democrat politics of New York and Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. If he can pull his head out and start paying attention to flyover country, particularly the blue-collar laborers mm-hmm. and tradesmen, and certified tradesmen, when he can start taking a look at the economics of flyover country and not just the siloed interests of blue East Coast, Left Coast, that will mean something to the
Democratic
Party.
Well, his grandfather was able to do that, certainly, to appeal certainly to the working man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's true, and that's half the story. What Republicans seem to forget often is that there are as many, if not more, working-class, blue-collar men and women in California, in Massachusetts, in Washington, in those states, just as well as in the flyover states. So you can't, again, demonizing or trying to divide one group of Americans against another is a typical Republican approach, and it's time for that to end. So we agree that we hope that Representative Kennedy does speak to all Americans and not try to divide as Trump has done so many times.
Yeah, sure. Okay. The reality of it is this, is that the candidate, either Republican or Democrat, that can get a full grasp of the salary compression that has gone on in this country for the last 20 years, that it can deal with public service employees like cops and sheriff's deputies whose salaries have been compressed across the nation, county by county by county, states that have overpaid their elite and underpaid and not been giving raises or step increases or merit raises to the people that have actually kept their bureaucracies together. All of that's the big boiling point. That's the thing that is going to boil over the next 2 years. And if they are not addressed, and if people don't start seeing some relief, that's why this tax relief is going to be so good for Trump. When people start seeing that relief and they start seeing wages rise and they
You call it salary compression.
Salary compression, and if the Democrats or the Republicans can get a handle on it, and the ability to solve it, that is the party that will win.
All right, Don. The
final word. You're making the Democrats' point. Two issues here: salary compression in the private sector. Yes, Democrats are pushing for increasing wages. Corporations have been sitting on huge profits for years. They're using the tax as an excuse to give bonuses while they're buying back stock. Fine, put those into wages. And the public sector, the irony there is, where does the public sector funding come from? Taxes. It's revenues paid by the taxpayers. Every time you vote to cut taxes, you're voting less money for the public safety, law enforcement, fire department, all these people you're talking about. The Republicans have to get real about that and support law enforcement, support fire and safety personnel, so that, yes, they are compensated fairly for what they do and the dangers that they face.
All right, Don Jorgensen. Thank you, Don. Good to see you. And Jim Kelly, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Thank you.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by my favorite nursery. I love to do some gardening, and Green Things takes care of all of my gardening needs. They've got some beautiful roses. They have these great workshops that are free to the public on the weekend. Best starting place would be to go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. They have a beautiful location on 13 acres at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Joining me now in studio is Jeff Uch.
You got it right.
Did I get
it?
Oh, I've been great. Worried. I've been worried all weekend about how to pronounce
your
name.
I'm sure you lost sleep over that.
Jeff is the founder and the chair of an organization that is based here in Tucson called Heirs of the Republic, and that's H-E-I-R-S.
Correct.
Heirs of the Republic. Tell me a little bit about this organization. How did you come up with that name? What's your mission all about?
Sure. Well, Heirs of the Republic, actually, many years ago, I spent a long time thinking about that. And one of the best things I think we can do as citizens of this country is recognize the great gifts we've been given. All too often when, you know, if you're a father or mother and create a great business and try to bequeath it to one of your children, they don't know what you did to build that up. And oftentimes it ends in ruins. And so Heirs of the Republic is, I think we need to be good stewards of the republic that we have inherited through no efforts of our own. And so we need to learn how the factory works. We need to understand what our parents have done for us to create this value. And so we are an educational 501c3 nonprofit. And our whole purpose is to basically secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Many people don't understand what those blessings are that liberty gives us. So freedom, how that's associated with the opportunities we have. So that's kind of what we're about. We've been doing this for 13 and a half years. We have a monthly educational opportunity, and we usually meet over at the You Like Oriental Buffet every second Wednesday of the month.
Oh, over on Oracle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And we have experts on different fields, and we just have good group discussions to educate ourselves.
And you have your big event coming up.
We do. We started an event 5 years ago. This is our fifth annual Freedom Expo dinner coming up February 9th and 10th. So our website is freedomexpoaz.com. Mm-hmm. And really, the purpose of that, it's really twofold. We want to inspire to action through education. Too often we have knee-jerk reactions on how we feel about something and don't really think about it first. You know, your mother said, think before you act. We need to do a little bit more thinking, and we need to do a little bit more educating before we go off half-cocked. And so that's what we really teach. We want to inspire to action through education, so we bring in great speakers from around the country. This time we have wonderful presenters, and we want to also recognize those who help fulfill our mission, which is securing the blessings of liberty. So we're putting a highlight at the dinner February 9th of some people that help us secure the blessings of liberty.
And you're considered a constitutional scholar. You're a historian.
Other right? people have said that, but yes. you know, I have read an hour a day since I was 15 years old.
So
of the
you
original
got into
document.
History at a very early age then?
Or? Yeah, really when I was really 5, 6, 7 years old, the story goes, I was born in Washington, D.C., but raised outside of Richmond, Virginia. And in the late 60s, early 70s, we played Rebels Against the Yankees where I grew up. And in Chesterfield County, Virginia, the Rebels were still the good guys then. And so we wanted to wear the butternut gray. But my mom was from Gettysburg, so we'd visit my cousins and run Pickett's Charge. And my Yankee cousins would say, it's a good thing we beat you, you rebels down there. It's like, that's not what we're hearing. So at a very young age, my mom read to me the West Point story, which is the story about all the generals from West Point that fought in the Civil War. And from a very early age, it's like, look, there's two sides to this. I want to learn and read it and understand for myself. So because of that, I have delved into American history, original documents, usually from what the framers wrote themselves, what Lincoln wrote himself, what Jefferson Davis wrote himself, you know, all the way back to try to get a good base on this.
Who are the heirs of the Republic, in your opinion?
Well, we are all heirs of the Republic. I mean, in one form or another, we are all stewards of what we've been given. So we have to choose for ourselves, you know, what kind of steward are we going to be? Are we going to help preserve our Republic? Or are we okay just kind of riding along? And we, you know, as an engineer, I talked to you a little bit earlier, you know, if we don't do anything to help keep things together, the law of entropy says it's going to fly apart. So it is an active effort that is required on the parts of citizens to educate themselves, to be able to maintain our liberties, which is really important for us if we want to achieve our potential in life. We've got to have liberties. You know, we want the best for our kids. We want the best for ourselves. If we don't have this freedom, and this is what our founders understood, there is no way we're going to have the chance to reach our potential, whatever that is. That's why they said pursuit of happiness. It really is the pursuit to become what you want to become.
Is this an organization open to all? I mean, is it political, like just for Republicans or
no? What? No. We have all types. We love it. We have differing opinions in there.
You have liberals.
We do. You know, we do. One of my best friends, who passed away a few years ago, was a staunch liberal. He loved coming to the meetings. Because we would have an open kind debate. And we go by Benjamin Franklin's rules of his junto. And that was, there are no rules unless you break one. Okay. That was kind of the rules we had around my house growing up. My dad was.
I do want to touch on briefly what you do for a living, because it's fascinating. You actually train, you're a professional swimmer, basically. You train Navy SEALs in swimming.
Tactical swimming, yes. I am not a SEAL,
civilian
contractor.
Tactical swimming, they have to be able to swim pretty good distance,
well, yeah,
right?
I mean, in the military, you know, and whether you're talking about Coast Guard swimmers or Navy rescue swimmers, you know, they are very good swimmers, but they're not necessarily collegiate race pool swimmers, you know, and the skill sets needed for open water swimming, especially when you're carrying gear or inserting or extracting, are different.
In the ocean, right?
Yeah. And so you're wearing different equipment, and it can be very cold. Yeah. Anyway, I get older, that's hard, a little harder. I hate to admit it, but it is.
Well, it's a fascinating career that you have carved out for yourself. So who are your speakers, some of your speakers coming up for your expo?
We are excited. We have Navy SEAL, former Navy SEAL Jason Redman. He was shot 8 to 10 times in Iraq and almost killed. He gives a great speech on perspective.
Okay.
So for those of you who have high school kids, college kids, or yourself, you know, he talks about, look, you know, this is when you're really having a bad day. And he tells about, but what's so neat about him is, you know, when he was shot all those times and didn't know if he'd make it or not, the poster he put up on his wall saying, look, I don't come in here and feel sorry for me. I did what I wanted to do, and I'm going to come back and you'll see. And so he has a great message for everybody. And one of the SEALs' mottos is, you know, unless you're dead, you're not out of the fight.
Right.
You know, you are in the fight.
As long as the
heartbeat,
you're still.
You can do something to contribute.
I like that.
It's a wonderful message.
I like that message.
Jay Dobbins, a local hero, you know, infiltrated Hell's Angels, has a great message on family.
Former ATF operative.
He is. He's just wonderful.
Author.
Scott McEwen wrote American Sniper.
That's right.
And helped Clint Eastwood produce the movie.
Got a great lineup here.
He was known as the world's most famous author in 2015.
Wow.
We have Joshua Charles, wrote one of the top 10 books on my list, Liberty Secrets, that is wonderful. We have John McNaughton, who is a world-famous artist. He writes religious and political, but just love your country type things.
And we're going to have to wrap it up real fast. But
so good stuff. And we have Ryan Bundy, spent 2 years in jail. He's going to come talk to us about his experience of kind of a little bit about overreach.
Okay. That's the 5th Annual Freedom Expo, and that is Friday, February 9th, and Saturday, February 10th. You'll be based up at the Hilton Tucson El Conquistador. Probably the best way to find out more is to go to your website, right?
Yes, freedomexpoaz.com.
Thank you so much,
Jeff. I appreciate you having me on,
sir.
Pleasure to meet you.
All right, we'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Back it is, Buckmaster, on a Monday. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a great weekend getaway or longer. If you've got some time off, it's just a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Great starting place is their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. All the great places to stay and many recreation opportunities. My goodness, visiting the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument just north of Silver City makes a great outing, one of the first national monuments in the United States. David Shapira is with us. Mr. Shapira is for 4 years, he was the assistant superintendent of the East Valley Institute of Technology. He's now a consultant as he cranks up his run for superintendent of public instruction in the state of Arizona. David served from 2007 to 2013 in the Arizona legislature, representing District 17. He served as the Senate Minority Leader. In 2010, he was elected to the Tempe Union High School District Governing Board, and he has been a member of the Tempe City Council. He's a busy guy since 2014. David, good to see you.
Good to be here, Bill.
Tell me about how the campaign is going.
It's going really well. We've been around the state since April. We spend probably 6 days a week away from home, which sometimes I bring the family with me, so I get to spend time with my little girls. But we've been all over Arizona, and everywhere we go, the energy is so incredibly high right now to change the public education system in the state. We've had 24 years of non-educators leading our education department in Arizona, and people are ready to end that long streak. And so we're so fortunate that actually about 3 weeks ago, we turned in our petition signatures and our Clean Elections $5 contributions to qualify for the state clean election system, and learned that actually we are the earliest campaign in Arizona state history to qualify for the ballot. And that's not because of me. That's because of this high energy we're seeing across the state for changing education.
24 years, and I've been in town here 30 years. I recall we did have a superintendent.
Diane Bishop.
Yeah, Diane from Tucson. Bishop was an educator.
Yeah, Diane.
It's been that long?
Bishop was 24 years ago.
Almost a quarter of a century?
Yeah.
So, I mean, everybody's talking about education. It seems to be now the governor's big issue. Two of the three candidates for governor, Steve Farley and David Garcia, certainly it's been their big issue. Kelly Fryer, it's one of her three big issues. So everybody's talking about it. So you think that the climate is right for somebody to come in and say, I'm ready to change it.
Yeah, I've been working on education policy my whole career. I started my career as a high school teacher, and as you mentioned, have worked as an administrator the last few years. My wife and I are both educators. Both of us had to go get our education administration master's degrees so that we could survive financially in this state, because things have devolved. Since I was a kid going to public school in Arizona, four generations of my family have gone to public school in this state, the first two generations here in Tucson. The things have changed. We're at a point right now where it's not just that we're not achieving where we want to achieve. We have 2,000 vacant teaching positions in this state.
It's serious.
52.8% of classrooms in Arizona have either no teacher or someone who's not appropriately certified for that position. We are at a crisis point right now, and that's why people across the state, voters, are waking up to this idea that we have got to make a change in education. And I think we're starting to realize as well that our failures are not in our education system. Our failures are in our political system. And it's those failures that are negatively impacting students and teachers across the state. And they're ready to make a change. And so the candidates, including the governor, he sees the polling and he sees that voters are concerned about schools. And I think he also realizes that if voters are as concerned about schools this coming November as they are now, he loses his election. And so he's out trying to convince everybody everything's just fine in the schools. And his supporters are out running TV ads.
There's even a group, a group saying it's not that bad.
Right. and the reality is we have never had this many vacant teaching positions in the middle of a school year before. Our class sizes are at record levels. Our students are struggling, not because of the teachers. The teachers are doing everything they can in spite of those problems at the state level to serve our kids, but because, like I said, of the failures in our political system.
What would a Shapira administration look like as superintendent of public instruction?
Look, the state superintendent of schools has two primary responsibilities. The first is to run the Department of Education, which is a 600-person department that is the leader of the education system in the state.
That's kind of in the portfolio, the big player, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is it's a hugely important constitutional responsibility in this state. Now, the Department of Education is meant to provide resources to school districts, and having been a teacher and an administrator in Arizona, I can tell you that slowly over time, it has gotten to a point where they put up more roadblocks than they do provide resources. And that's partly because if great folks at the department didn't leave under Tom Horn, they left under John Hoopenthal. And if they didn't leave under John Hoopenthal, they left under Diane Douglas. And so we have a department right now of a lot of political appointees, Republican politicos, and many folks who are not the best in their field. And that's what we need. We need the best educators in their field leading curriculum development and standard development at the State Department of Education. The other, and I'll do that. I mean, we're going to get professional educators. We're going to get the best folks in their field at the State Department because I'm tired of just Republican appointees leading our school system. The second real responsibility of the superintendent is to be the voice of public education at the state capitol. Now, you mentioned I served 6 years in the state legislature.
Yeah.
I was on the education committee all 6 of those years. I know that place. I know how it works. We need a public education supporter, someone who believes in public education, who's going to go down to the Capitol and fight for our public schools. And we haven't had that in 2 decades.
A face of education front of lawmakers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So money-wise, are you going to get the kind of money you would need to run the administration that you need?
So, right now our school system in Arizona has $1.1 billion less than it had 9 years ago. Now, Governor Ducey's proposal, for those out there who think it's going to solve the problems, even if his proposal becomes law, even if he can get it through the legislature and sign it into law, we will still have $952 million less in our school system than we had 9 years ago. I'd like to see us at least get back to where we were 9 years ago and then start investing. If we do that, Bill, if we get back to where we were 9 years ago, we move from 49th in per student spending in the country to 47th. What we need is a state that's going to do its constitutional responsibility and invest in our schools. And I want to tell you quickly what my plan is to make that happen. I will go down to the legislature a year from now, once I'm sworn in as superintendent, and I will work on my former colleagues in the Appropriations Committee, where I served for 5 years, to try and get them to adequately support our school system. And I'll work on whoever the governor is, and hopefully it's a different governor, to get them to adequately fund our schools. But if I fail, I'm not delusional to think that I'm going to be able to convince them all in the first year. If I fail, my plan in 2020 is to go to the ballot with an initiative to amend our state constitution and to take away the constitutional authority from the legislature to fund schools.
Really?
And to put a permanent formula into our constitution that funds schools, that increases for inflation, that's a sustainable formula to where we don't have to rely on the politicians anymore.
So the political football is gone.
We take the football away.
Yeah, the football.
We do what I have to do with my students and my kids. If we give them responsibility and they show they can't handle it, you got to take it away until they prove they can.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been traveling all over the state, some of our smallest communities in the state.
That's right.
Is the message pretty much the same for everybody, whether you're in rural or cities?
We all feel the lack of resources. We all feel the teacher crisis. To be clear, we don't have a teacher shortage. We have more certified teachers in Arizona than there are teaching positions.
But they're on the sidelines.
We don't have enough who are willing to take a vow of poverty to teach in this state.
Right.
But in rural areas, it is far more acute than it is in the urban areas.
I talked to
a student just recently from a high school in Quartzsite, Arizona, over in La Paz County, north of Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
This is a public high school in Arizona that Doug Ducey came and visited on a helicopter. He spent as much on that helicopter ride as a first-year teacher makes in that school, most likely. This high school does not have a math teacher in the building.
Oh, my goodness. And a high school?
A high school in Arizona, in America, a public high school that does not have a math teacher in the school.
Oh, my goodness.
They're having to bring them in over Skype and use Khan Academy to teach the kids math. That is unacceptable. We need education leaders in this state who are going to address these kinds of issues.
Tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. I know you've got a nice website.
We have a website, david4az.com. We're also very active on social media. You can follow me at dschapira, D-S-C-H-A-P-I-R-A. Or on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/David4AZ.
And you're certainly out and about. I understand you're actually going to do a debate with Diane Douglas.
Yeah, tomorrow will be our first opportunity. We had some debates in the summer where the Republican primary opponents of Diane Douglas showed up. But Diane Douglas, I've never had the opportunity to debate her directly, and we're going to get our first chance tomorrow.
And she's going to be primaried.
She has a five-way primary, which is not surprising. She is the least popular elected official, statewide elected official in Arizona since Ev Meekum was impeached.
All right. We've got to run. Thank you very much, David.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bill.
It.
Appreciate it.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw, our fine afternoon program. Ray Allen helps Mike out from 4 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening.